We're pleased to welcome in Brenda Oftekamp joining us on behalf of the Extension Office here in North Platte. Brenda, it's been a couple of weeks. Good to see you back in the studio.
It has. It might even be more like months since I've been
here. Might have been a couple of months,
We're getting more people in my office as well as at the Research Center, so fewer times and opportunities. And then the summer months, clear through September, I stayed really busy working with kids and on the road to my various counties. So, yeah.
Good problem to have, I would say.
Yeah, though. It's exciting. It's exciting. And now I'm going in and out of classrooms pretty much weekly and then still doing some food safety classes with my adults. And so, no, I can keep busy day to day. And it's always good for me to have a little quiet time at my desk so that I can really evaluate what needs to change and how I need to adapt.
Now, in talking about food safety, Brenda, there's been a couple of freezes already. So that's going to definitely change some things in terms of what we're bringing out of the garden into the house.
Right. You know, and that's why I say I don't think we got nearly as cold as what they did in eastern Nebraska the last few evenings. But remind everybody that once your tomato vines die, you know, from getting too cold, you really shouldn't use those tomatoes. And the reason is because the tomatoes, when they've been frozen, the acidity of those tomatoes drop, and there's no way to determine that. And generally speaking, you acidify any kind of tomato that you do, whether you're canning just jars of tomatoes or whether you're doing salsa, you're putting some kind of acid like vinegar or lemon juice or ascorbic acid in there. So you're upping the acidity of them, and so that's why you do acidify. But once those vines have wilted and died, you really are, they're not safe to consume anymore.
It becomes toxic?
Becomes toxic. It does. It could become toxic. And that's the thing to think about. And when we do tomatoes, most of us probably use the boiling water bath method of canning. But tomato on the pH scale is right there in the middle, you know, a 4.3 to a 5 or so. So you can pressure can tomatoes, or you could boiling water bath can tomatoes. And most of us that are in the canning food preservation world, we prefer to do the boiling water bath because it's a lot quicker and you can run jars through your canner more often. But don't do that. And then the other thing with the salsa that I've been seeing and hearing of is, you know, when you make salsa, make sure that you're going to a research-based recipe and you want to make just that quantity that's called for in a recipe at a time. Don't double it, triple it, or whatever. I'm the first one out there. I don't have patience. But you're really messing around with science and the acidity, the tested part of that recipe, to make sure that the acidity by combination of peppers and onions and tomatoes is correct. So do one batch at a time and then start another one. Those kind of things.
Now, Brenda, the dangers you talked about a moment ago with the tomatoes after the plant's kind of withering and dying, does that apply to other plants right now that still might have some fruit on the vine, like maybe the peppers?
You know, I'm not aware that really peppers do, and peppers really aren't that acidic, to be really that honest. So no, not necessarily. And hopefully, before we get hard freezes, and if you're not covering up things, you've brought them inside, you know, and even to bring in a half red tomato or the peppers, I don't think will turn red as readily off the vines as they do on the vines, but the tomatoes will. I have 10 tomatoes sitting on my kitchen counter that I brought in on Saturday, and they will go ahead and ripen if they have a little sunshine and so forth. So no, I don't think there's as much risk of the acidity and those kind of things. And with peppers, you're probably pickling them or you're putting them in something or freezing them, that kind of thing. With all of that. But yeah, there's ways to preserve all of that. And so if you brought them in, think about it. Somebody was just saying they have tons of green tomatoes. What are you going to do with green tomatoes? Well, he was going to make relish. You could do salsa verde, and there's research-based recipes out there for that. You could do pickled, you know, take your smaller green tomatoes and make pickled tomatoes. And they really are very tasty on a relish tray or something later on in the year.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, and then I was saying too, Tristan, was if you picked all these tomatoes and you were just overwhelmed between school, you know, school schedules and kids' schedules and all of that, don't have time, go ahead and wash those tomatoes, core them, throw them in a gallon bag, and freeze them. So you have gallon bags full of red tomatoes or whatever. Leave them there until you have a little bit more time. You know, you get slowed down or whatever. Then you can bring those out. The skins will pop right off. You can put them in a big pot, bring them to a boil, and make your salsa, make your, you know, spiced tomatoes, whatever you're going to do with them later on when you do get slowed down.
Awesome.
You know, you can bring them back out and can them.
Yeah, right. Cool. You know, and the same thing earlier this year, if you had any kind of fruit, your strawberries or your berries or any of those things, and you froze them, this is a good time to start thinking about, oh, we could do some home canned jams or jellies and get them out of the freezer, make those into jams and jellies. You have some great homemade Christmas presents, you know, here in the next 2 months out of those, that produce that you saved off of your trees or, or bushes, that kind of thing. So all kinds of things to do. And, you know, the thing that they think about and every one of us does is you go to the grocery store, the prices keep on edging up. And, yeah. and in my terminology, I think we're going to continue to see that for another 9, 12 months at least. But the tomato thing really concerns me. So spaghetti sauce, ketchup, tomatoes, cans of any kind of tomatoes, we're going to see those prices drive up because I think the crops in California have not been very good because of weather and
sure.
water issues and all of that. And
supply
so,
and demand, essentially.
Yeah. So if you have red tomatoes, figure out a way to get them into some kind of a freezer or a canned product so that you have those to pull on later on.
Now, Brenda, before we wrap up today, let's talk a little bit about some food safety when it comes to leftovers. I think we're kind of getting into that time of the year where folks are going to be resorting more and more to the leftovers. I know I do in the cooler months, and that's great. That's fine and dandy, but there's definitely some key steps that need to be taken when we talk about leftovers and making sure that we preserve that food safely, but then also reheat it or bring it back out to the table safely as well.
Right. So, you know, when you talk truly leftovers, like lasagna last night, I'm assuming, and you have leftovers. So really the deadline to eat those, put them in the refrigerator, is 3 to 4 days. So if you put them in, you know, the pan, a half pan of lasagna last night, you really have until about Saturday that you need to be consuming that or taking it out and freezing it in serving sizes. You know, and that's the thing, we're making pot. We had beef stew last night at my house.
Oh, okay.
You know, half a pot of beef stew left, and I always like to make a little extra. But don't put that whole half a pot of stew in the refrigerator and think that it's going to cool down, because you're wanting to cool it down to below 40 degrees within about 2 to 3 hours, and a big pot is not going to do that. And then when you bring it out, that's why we say serving sizes. When you put them in the refrigerator, or even if you're going to freeze it, get it in a serving size, quart size container. And then when you bring your leftovers out, you really want to heat those up to 165 degree internal temperature. And there again, that's to reduce pathogens or bacteria, but you're never killing pathogens. You don't kill pathogens with anything we do, or very few things in the kitchen. All you do is reduce them to safe levels so that for most of us that have a healthy immune system, we can consume it because it's at reduced concentration levels.
Brenda, folks want to learn more about anything we talked about this morning and food safety in general. How can they do so?
You know, give me a call at the Extension office here in North Platte. I offer food safety classes, and those really are intended for people that are food handlers in restaurants or those type places, or for managers, and those are called Serve Safe. And we have our last one tomorrow, in fact, our manager's class in Lexington, and has a big class, and then we'll start them up after the first of the year. So if you're interested in doing that, I know I just had a couple gals that are associated with a church, and they were thinking funeral dinners, or they do monthly potlucks, all of that at churches. Yeah. So that's one place that I really think, and I'm as bad as the next one, so I'm not going to point fingers. I'm just here to share the knowledge that I have learned, you know, of safe practices to start with. Even in a church, when you do potlucks and reheating and having crock pots and other things brought in, what you should do. So there is the Serve Safe opportunity to take that class, or just call me and I will do print off of, you know, University of Nebraska Extension materials or other land grant institution materials to try to help guide us, you know. And the number one thing is just washing our hands.
Oh, especially as we get into the colder months and
yep,
the flu season.
Oh, yeah, all of that. It's going to help reduce, you know, the risk of flu and cold and all of that. But it's just a good practice. And so even with your leftovers, if you didn't wash your hands and you have something left on there before you scoop up your leftovers and, you know, use your fingers to get it into that single-serve container, you've increased your risk. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter how high you cook that food, there could still be pathogens that are present in there.
And hand sanitizer is good in a pinch, but it's not a substitute for hand washing by any means.
Yep, that's exactly right. It isn't. Go back to soap and water, and, you know, it's warm water, as hot as you can stand. So when you talk young children, that word hot, don't use it with them. Get them to use warm water.
Sure.
And you'd like it a little hotter, but as long as they're using some type of warm water with some soap, get those bubbles scrubbed all around. That's why we're scrubbing for the 15 to 20 seconds. And then you're continuing to scrub as you rinse all of that off, trying to loosen up any pathogens or bacteria, or just write out dirt on your hands. But that's the number one thing. And if we do that, we're going to be healthier throughout the summer. We're going to have less food poisoning and foodborne illnesses related illnesses in the kitchen. All of that, you know, and those are still the same guidelines when you home preserve. Wash your jars, wash your hands, do as much as possible to do the basic little things that don't take time, really. We just think 30 seconds is a lot. It really isn't.
Not at all.
And you mentioned flu. It's a good preventative for flu.
Oh, it is. I think between washing our hands, and I know I'm getting ready to work with some high school students later today, and if you think about it, I say, which is probably, how many times do you wash your hands a day? And I say you should be at least washing them 5 to 6 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then I would hope you maybe wash your hands in the morning time, and you go down the hallway a couple times throughout the day. So, I mean, minimum of 6, but I would think for most of us, it goes above that.
Yeah.
And then even when you go through the motions, don't rush it. Take the whole 15, 20 seconds of scrubbing with some bubbles and
there's
soap.
There's no substitution for it.
There isn't. And you're, like you say, George, you're going to be less likely to have bacteria that cause flu or colds. Plus, you're just going to reduce any other pathogens that maybe are transporting other things.
Yep.
Brenda, appreciate the time as always. Good to see you in the studio. Good luck with those high schoolers today.
Yes, great. Thank you. I love that.
Have a great day, Brenda.
Yep.